It was the day before Christmas. Such a cold east wind, such an inky sky, such a blue-black look in people's faces as they were driven out more than usual to complete their purchases for the next day's festival. Before leaving home that morning, Jenkins had given some money to his wife to buy the next day's dinner.
"My dear, I wish for turkey and sausages. It may be a weakness, but I own I am partial to sausages. My deceased mother was. Such tastes are hereditary. As to the sweets, whether plum pudding or mince pies, I leave such considerations to you. I only beg you not to mind expense. Christmas comes but once a year."
And again he had called out from the bottom of the first flight of stairs, just close to the Hodgson's door,
"Such ostentatiousness,"
as Mrs. Hodgson observed.
"You'll not forget the sausages, my dear." "I should like to have something above common, Mary," said Hodgson, as they too made their plans for the next day, "but I think roast beef must do for us. You see, love, we've a family."
"Only one, Jem? I don't want more than roast beef, though, I'm sure. Before I went to service, mother and me would have thought roast beef a very fine dinner."
"Well, let's settle it then. Roast beef and plum pudding. And now, goodbye. Mind and take care of little Tom. I thought he was a bit hoarse this morning."
And off he went to his work. Now, it was a good while since Mrs. Jenkins and Mrs. Hodgson had spoken to each other. Although they were quite as much in possession of the knowledge of events and opinions as though they did. Mary knew that Mrs. Jenkins despised her for not having a real lace cap, which Mrs. Jenkins had, and for having been a servant, which Mrs. Jenkins had not. And the little occasional pinchings which the Hodgsons were obliged to resort to make both ends meet, would have been very patiently endured by Mary, if she had not winced under Mrs. Jenkins's knowledge of such economy. But she had her revenge. She had a child, and Mrs. Jenkins had none. To have had a child, even such a puny baby as little Tom, Mrs. Jenkins would have worn commonest caps and clean grates and drudged her fingers to the bone. The great unspoken disappointment of her life soured her temper and turned her thoughts inward, and made her morbid and selfish.
"Hang that cat! It's been stealing again! He's gnawed the cold mutton with his nasty mouth till it's not fit to set before a Christian, and I've nothing else for Jem's dinner. But I'll give it him now I've caught him, that he will."
So saying, Mary Hodgson caught up her husband's Sunday cane, and despite Pussy's cries and scratches, she gave him such a beating as she hoped might cure him of his thievish propensities, when, lo and behold, Mrs. Jenkins stood at the door with a face of bitter wrath.
"Aren't you ashamed of yourself, ma'am, to abuse a poor dumb animal, ma'am, as knows no better than to take food when he sees it, ma'am? He only follows the nature which God has given, ma'am, and it's a pity your nature, ma'am, which I've heard is of the stingy saving species, does not make you shut your cupboard door a little closer. There is such a thing as law for brute animals. I'll ask Mr. Jenkins, but I don't think them radicals has done away with that law yet, for all their reform bill, ma'am. My poor precious lover for Tommy, is he hurt? And is his leg broke for taking a mouthful of scraps, as most people would give away to a beggar? If he'd take 'em," wound up Mrs. Jenkins, casting a contemptuous look on the remnant of a scrag end of mutton. Mary felt very angry and very guilty, for she really pitied the poor limping animal as he crept up to his mistress and there lay down to bemoan himself. She wished she had not beaten him so hard, for it certainly was her own careless way of never shutting the cupboard door that had tempted him to his fault. But the sneer at her little bit of mutton turned her penitence to fresh wrath, and she shut the door in Jenkins's face as she stood caressing her cat in the lobby with such a bang that it wakened little Tom, and he began to cry.